Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
We're going to talk Premier League weekend, the transfer window latest, and a bit about Ronaldo as well. I'll tell you about that in a second. Alan's been joined by Jack Pitt-Brook, the football journalist for The Independent. Hello, Jack. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Mentioned at the top of the programme, and now there were three. Is it now there were two, you think, for the Premier League? Liverpool, Man City? Have Spurs any chance?
Not yet. I think Spurs will eventually fall away, but they're still doggedly hanging in there. It was such an important win for them to beat Fulham on Sunday, and you can see that from the celebrations of Pochettino and the substitutes when Harry Winks scored that header. But I think ultimately they just don't have the strength and depth that City and Liverpool do. I mean, they've got this huge game against Chelsea on Thursday, and they don't have Harry Kane, Dele Alli or Heung-Min Son, their three best attacking players. So I think that eventually that kind of the lack of resources they have and the fact they've only really got sort of 12, 30 core players they can rely on is eventually going to kill them.
You'd agree, Alan?
Yeah, up until last week, I was still giving them a small chance, John. But once the injuries occurred, obviously to Harry Kane, Son being away, Dele Alli gets injured yesterday, I just can't see it. And I'm mad about Spurs, and I did give them a little squeak, but they just can't cope with the losses of those three especially. And yeah, it will be between City and Liverpool.
Yeah, I look at some of the remaining fixtures actually here, lads. Liverpool's next couple of fixtures, Leicester home, West Ham away, Bournemouth home before they play United. City have got Newcastle away, Arsenal home, Chelsea. Don't so Chelsea, or sorry, City's games over the next while, next three anyway, are more difficult, it would appear, than Liverpool. So it may be a chance for the Reds to start pulling away.
Yeah, I think City will probably have to win basically every remaining game to have a chance of winning the title, just because Liverpool have a slightly easier running than they do. And Liverpool aren't going to drop that many points. So City can't really afford to drop any more, because I can't see them clawing it back if they let the gap get to 10 or 7, 8 or 9 points again.
Yeah, and they don't play each other again either, so that's a plus from Liverpool's point of view, I suppose. They're running last couple of games, Cardiff away, Huddersfield home, Newcastle away, Wolves at home. It's not daunting really, is it?
Well,
no.
Go on, Jack.
Sorry, no, I mean, Liverpool have managed to get over the line quite impressively in their last two games. Brighton away, which I went to the Palace game at Anfield the other day. So, I mean, at the moment, they're looking like they're not too affected by nerves. It'll be interesting to see if that changes as they get closer to the finishing line.
Yeah,
I think, though, John, with the Premier League, and I'm not sure if Jack agrees, but there's a lot of cannon fodder in the league as well. Poor enough teams. Like, I know, obviously, they've played Brighton and Crystal Palace, who I would put in that category, and it has been tricky, and they've only won by the odd goal.
Well, in fairness to Palace, they were brilliant against City away. I mean, that was a fantastic result.
I think there's a lot of cannon fodder in the league. So you're looking at to see where they're going to draw points. It's only against them top teams as such and the top six, and Liverpool's running is by far the easier, you would say, and up to now they've been so impressive. I give them an unbelievable chance. I know people are suggesting City, that since the defeat, obviously they've responded really well and they look very impressive, but Liverpool have been outstanding all year.
And do you think it's done?
I wouldn't say it's done by any means. It'll be tight, but I think Liverpool are in an absolutely unbelievable position. The gap of 4 points, the running is better. I think they've a far better all round team. I'd just be fearful if they were to lose Van Dijk. I think they're coping just about at the moment with the losses of the likes of Lovren and Trent Alexander-Arnold, and they can kind of afford with those couple of losses. But if they were to lose someone like Van Dijk, obviously defensively, and maybe Salah up top, but I think, like, I know Klopp, and obviously there's going to be a bit of apprehension and nerves because it's been so long, and that's only natural.
1990,
but they've coped with it so well, and they've been outstanding. They've been absolutely brilliant all season, Liverpool. Klopp's done an amazing job.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing to watch actually on Twitter, Jack, Liverpool supporters going, hang on, don't give it to us yet. It's just, as Anna mentioned, it's been so long that they're not counting their chickens before they hatch now. And I suppose they're right to do. They're just play a cautious game at this stage. You know, don't go too gung-ho. It's back, despite the fact that they're playing so well.
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll be scarred by the memory of 2014, where they were top with a few games left and everybody thought they were going to do it, and then that famous game against Chelsea where they messed it up. I think in part you can put that down to the pressure and expectation of all the Liverpool fans. So I think I wonder whether Liverpool fans might realise that they have a role to play here as well, and they can't let, they can't burden the players with too much pressure, because they know that maybe the players won't be able to stand up for it. They need to be a bit more relaxed just to allow the players to play, because if they keep playing a natural game, then they'll win the title. Yeah. No problem.
Do you think there'll be any dealings in the transfer window though for City and Liverpool?
Liverpool, no, I don't think so. City have been looking around for a left back because, you know, Mendy's had this long, this kind of new knee problem. He is coming back, but I think City will probably not want to do anything unless they could add anything big. I think more likely to see action at Chelsea, who are obviously going for Gonzalo Higuain up front, and maybe at Tottenham.
Yeah. Do you think both sides need to strengthen?
Who, Liverpool and City?
Yeah.
No, I think they're fine.
Yeah.
Obviously, the very good squads, strength and depth. As I say, if they were to get an injury to the likes,
but we've got 11 days before the end of the transfer window.
Exactly.
But it's very quiet at the moment, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, but
it's got a lot of names being bandied.
But I don't
about.
Think it's a great time to buy players, to be honest with you, John. You know, and especially they have obviously established first 11s or first kind of 12, 13, whatever you want. So they don't really need to be upsetting the apple cart. Or I don't think there's any great need for them to be bringing in anyone either of those two. Certainly, there's a need for Chelsea because we watched them the other night. Obviously, there's big news with Sarri coming out and having a go at the players.
What did you think of that? I actually thought he was quite measured in what he said.
I'd sound like a hypocrite now because I've slaughtered Mourinho for doing that kind of stuff, but I think it's not like for like. Mourinho was just negative on everything.
But he would pick on individual players, and he did Pogba, and he'd mentioned Rashford as well. He mentioned individual. Sarri seems to do this as a collective.
And I like Sarri, and I think the reason he's been doing it as a collective, because then players have gotten away with a lot now. If you think, obviously, they did it with Mourinho, they did it with Conte. Here we go again now with another manager claiming that they're hard to motivate. Now people are coming back with the argument that it's up to him to motivate them. But sometimes I feel sorry for the modern day manager, because if the players feel like they don't want to play or they're just no interest, they're just down tools, and you're never going to get
Hence
a case
United,
where you can get rid of 12, 13 players. The manager is always the one who suffers. We've seen something similar at Leicester City as well with Ranieri. So I think this is becoming a little bit of a common problem, and particularly with those Chelsea players. So in some ways I admire him for standing up to them and maybe having a go at them. Now the argument is he gambling massively? Because once you come out and criticise players in public, it always ends a bit disastrously.
Yeah, but he doesn't name names.
But where he doesn't have a leg to stand on in some ways is he has to look at himself, and the decision to play Hazard in the position he's playing him is absolute ludicrous. He's the best player, I would go so far as saying, in the league, never mind in Chelsea's team, in his proper position. And he's got off to a great start at the start of the season playing off Giroud. To play him in the position that he's playing him now, John, you're not getting the best out of him, and it's not helping the team. He's also playing Jorginho, and I understand why he's playing him, because the style of football that Sarri wants to play, he wants a ball player picking it up off the back four and starting the attacks, whereas he feels Kante is just that defensive shield, but technically he's not as good as Jorginho. But again, it's taken away from the team, because the first thing people are throwing at him is, well, Kante is the best defensive shield in the league, and you're playing him in a position where it's not helping the team and it's not helping him. So there's two areas where I think Sarri has to look at himself. But certainly coming out having a go at them, I'd have a little bit of a sympathy on him. I think fair play to him.
Yeah, what do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I agree. I do have sympathy with Sarri, but he's certainly taken a huge risk. I mean, plenty of Chelsea managers in the past have tried to go to war with the dressing room, and it doesn't usually work well. And of course, the real problem is that even though he's attacking the players, his future rests with the players. Like, Chelsea are not going to like endorse him having a big clear out in January and getting rid of all the bad eggs and spending 300 million revamping the squad. Just, that's not really how Chelsea work. But they're more short-term than that. They like to keep the players in place and change the manager. And if the players really aren't having Sarri, and if the players are upset and offended by what Sarri said, then they can just down tools and get him sacked. So he's...
It's the point Adam was making.
He's backed himself into a corner.
On it, Jack, like, you mentioned bad apples there. I look around that squad, and in fairness to them, I don't see any bad apples. So I wonder, is it more of a case of the point Sarri was making was, he just finds the mentality of those players that they're not kind of blood and guts, that they're not really self-motivated, or they're hard to motivate, and that's just the style of them as people maybe and as players, whereas I don't think they're necessarily bad apples.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think that they've lost a lot of the leaders that they've had in recent years. I mean, not even just the kind of Lampard, Terry, Drogba, Czech generation, but even in the last few years, like Cahill's effectively gone, Diego Costa, Cesc Fabregas, Nemanja Matic, you know, the big players from the second Mourinho title and the Antonio Conte title season have gone. And now it is quite a quiet group, even though there's some experience. There aren't that many leaders. And that, I think, is probably the problem, is that there aren't players who, you know, Sarri wants a strong dressing room. He can kind of meet him halfway, and he's not got that.
It's been an intriguing season so far, anyway, gentlemen. Before I let you go, Jack, have you heard the story about Cristiano Ronaldo? Ronaldo apparently will be given a hefty fine, anything up to €19 million, and a two-year suspended sentence, apparently tomorrow, from image rights generated when he played for Real Madrid. Have you heard that story?
Yeah. We carried it on our website early this afternoon. I think it's a bit of a long-running scam, really, with footballers and image rights. You know,
he's not the first by any stretch. No.
Yeah, they like these image rights deals because it's income which isn't described as income, right? Like you can get it, but you maybe don't have to pay tax on it the same way. And everyone knows in football that for years players have been raking it on image rights deals. And finally, I think the Arsenal have been quite lax on it in the past. Spanish prosecutors are now realising that they've been, in fact, they've been denied millions of euros that are rightfully theirs. So it's kind of fair play to them for trying to claw that money back.
Yeah, well, he's going to be in the spotlight tomorrow because the judge has said no special treatment, you're coming through the front door on foot. So he'll be there in the glare of publicity tomorrow.
Yeah, it's always a bit odd when you see these people who are, you know, kind of live their lives as gods, having to go and have these kind of menial court appearances.
Yeah, mix it with the mere mortals, yeah.
Yeah, quite.
Jack, listen, thanks for joining us there. That's Jack Pitbrook from The Independent.
Game on 2FM. Weekdays from 7.